Little homie had hoop dreams, man, he loved sports on the court. He was short, but he had a lot of heart. Picking up a basketball made him feel like there was hope. If he didn't play ball, he'd probably be selling dope. No father figure and a single parent home. And so much going on made him feel like he was grown. That he had to go hard in the gym like a champ. And all he thought about was him and his camp. He say, fam, we gon' make it. That's all I gotta say. Cause at the end of the day, I'm talking NBA contract. It's a fact. Mom ain't got a lot of grip. So I gotta play hard to get the college scholarship. That's exactly what he did. Little homie's on the way. But little does he know that he is being led astray. Cause fulfilling your dreams may get you out of the trap. But there is a sin problem that's way bigger than that. The light.
You know that.
Welcome everybody to Love 101, where we love God, ourselves, and each other. How are you doing today? Happy to be here on the show, and I have the chance to start off the show. Yes, I do. Now, this is the type of show where we ask you guys to call in and talk about love, because we have every show we have great topics and we have great interviews, you know. And I'm privileged to be on the show. If you don't know who's speaking, it is me, Pastor Dre, and I have the chance to shout out my hostess, the lovely Miss Lady T, Tasha Phipps. She's here on the line right now. Are you there?
Yes, I am, Dre. I was waiting for that awesome introduction.
What's
yes,
up,
I was.
How are you?
I am lovely. How are you?
I'm doing well. How'd I do?
Dre's giving me a break because it's this whole Mother's Day thing. I need a moment. I was like, you introduced me for a change. I was working last week. So, yeah, I need the rest. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. Happy. I'm not doing all that great. Got to be honest with you. My Knicks lost yesterday, so they've been eliminated. So I'm not particularly happy about that. I really wanted to see the Knicks and Miami duke it out in the Eastern Conference Finals. But, oh, well, it is what it is, right?
Right. Yeah, like I said, you, I don't want you to be hurt about the Knicks, you know. Like I said, I'm glad Miami's still there. You know, we go head-to-head. I don't go head-to-head. I wish everybody could win, but obviously that's not the case. But for the Miami fans out there, woo-woo! He got it.
That's that Christian mentality.
They're still in there.
That's that Christian mentality you have. Yeah,
exactly,
you want everybody to win like a good Christian. But in the real world, there's got to be a loser.
I do.
Yeah, I'm not a loser. I still love the Knicks, though. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so,
the Knicks fan. And that's good to be a diehard fan. That's a good thing. Because some people drop off. Dre is a diehard fan. He never drops off.
Do or die. All right. But let's get off the loss of the Knicks and let's move on to how you can give us a call and interact with us. There's a couple of ways you can contact us on the show. The first one is you can call us by calling 646-727-1706. Press the number 1. It'll indicate to us that you have something to say on the air, and we'll get you to read your comment or say a comment live on the air. Also, if you're listening online on blogtalkradio.com/NEWD, join the chat room, chat in your comments, and we'll read them live on the air. Or another option is you can click that Skype logo next to the telephone number on the screen. If you have Skype and it's logged in, you can Skype into the show and press the number 1 as if you were making a phone call, and we will get your comment live on the air. So we appreciate all of our faithful listeners, our NEWD family. Make sure you guys call into this show. It's going to be a good one.
Yes, it will. Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, Dre, you know, you are a CNN man, and there's a lot of stuff that's going on, and we heard something about Angelina Jolie. Tell us more about that.
Well, I don't know too much about the story. I do know that she is having what's that procedure called? I'm not particularly sure what the procedure is. I think it's called a mastectomy.
Well, I know. I think what I've heard is that she's getting her breast cut off so that she won't actually get cancer later on.
I have a question. Are you guaranteed to get cancer if you don't cut your breast off?
No. What I know of it, actually, is that for some women who have a history of cancer in their family, in actuality, sometimes they'll say as a preventive measure, if you've had, like, a lot of cancer in your family, one of the preventive measures is actually doing the, getting your breast removed ahead of time, so that you don't, obtain that cancer. It's just like women who remove their, once they've had all their babies, they'll remove their uterus, and they'll do the hysterectomy ahead of time because of, like, cancer cells. They do screening for those things, and if you have it in your family, that's sometimes something that they'll do. But no, everybody who has, everybody's not doing it. It's just like a preventive measurement. If they've done screenings and they feel as though you might get this in the future, that's how it's actually done. What I've heard.
Okay.
Like I said, this is a minute. So that's actually heard.
I think that's pretty brave.
I think that's awesome that he loves her in spite of, that's a testament. Usually in, the culture that they're in as far as that, celebrity culture, a lot of times people are not willing, they're so about beauty, they're so about,
Let me interject real quick. Real talk, Brad Pitt has had many female partners before he was 40-something and married Angelina Jolie. So I think that he's got all that out of his system, okay? But it is a blessing that he...
Yeah, but celebrities who never get it out of their system, so...
Yeah. But,
me, it's like where everybody's going to add implants, and you see how, Hollywood is. It's a good thing that she's actually, showing the world that, all those women who have lost their breasts and they feel like they're less of a person, it just shows you real love. Like, I love you in spite of. So maybe women who have had to cut off their breasts will feel empowered now that, someone's actually doing it. It's just like my friend, his girlfriend had cancer, and he actually shaved his head with his girlfriend. And I thought that was beautiful. that he would actually do that. It's like, baby, I love you regardless, so I'm going to shave my head too. And they both, you know, he had braids at the time, and he shaved his head, you know, to celebrate her. So it's empowering.
Well, I think it's a great thing because, honestly speaking, Angelina Jolie made a career around her body, her looks, particularly
right.
her breasts. So now that it's coming off, I think that it's a good thing. You know, I think it's a good thing.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah.
So,
it's showing you that your beauty is on the inside. It's not on the outside. Beauty is on the inside.
Yeah, it is. Well, speaking of love, though, right? This whole Kanye and Kim Kardashian thing.
Oh, Lord.
I don't know if that's healthy. Like, I don't know if Kanye really loves this woman or he's just completely infatuated with her. Like, what if Kim Kardashian had to do the same thing, had to have a mastectomy? Would Kanye feel the same way about her?
If Kim Kardashian had to cut off her butt, now that would be serious.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be great. Like, all the women out there would be going like, what? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they'll probably be asking her for it. Like, can I, you mind if I just use a couple of tissues? That's it. Just,
right. Just a little bit.
Nah, but I don't know. Like, I was looking at this story of Kanye, you know, and having a baby. And I don't know. I don't know if I like this relationship here. It could be wrong. It could be me.
Yeah, they actually said that they haven't been around each other. It hasn't been looking like a good, you know, marriage, togetherness. Like, they're going to be leading towards that. It hasn't been looking like that.
Yeah, because I think that, first, they're not married, but they're having a baby, and I think society is all
right.
Happy with that. Everybody loves the fact that they're having a baby and they're not married. They bypass the fact that she got pregnant while she was still, I guess, legally married. But I think that there's something not right with this situation. There's something not right, probably because they don't have God in the mix. But I don't know. Kanye doesn't seem stable enough to maintain a relationship, let alone be a father. that's just my opinion. I don't know, man. I don't know what you guys think about that, but Kanye West being in a committed relationship and being a daddy scares me a whole lot. But this could be the very thing that, this could be the very thing that causes him to change, or not. Yeah.
Right. It's true. And like I said, you know, I think he saw, you know, you saw him when Jay-Z and Beyonce was talking about having a baby, how he was so excited for Jay-Z. I think that he was like, well, let me go out there and get me one then, you know, that kind of thing. So
yeah, Beyonce's pregnant again.
Yes, she is. She's carrying number two. So we'll see if it's a girl or a boy. She is pregnant again. She looks absolutely, you know, like she's glowing. I just really feel as though, you know, I don't know. Beyonce seems so in love with her baby. It's just, it's a beautiful thing. I love seeing women pregnant. I just really do. So I'm happy for her. All right. So let's get the word of the day, Dre.
The word of the day?
Yeah.
Well,
you look like you're really depressed about the Knicks. You ain't. Come on, Dre. Wake up. Come on.
No,
let's do this.
The Knicks really.
I'm like, come on,
really,
Dre.
No, the Knicks really messed me up. They really, they
right, okay.
really messed me up.
Right,
but I did want to say that the word of the day comes from the story with the lady at the well.
Right.
There's a, everybody know the story with the lady at the well. And hold on, it says in the Bible, right? In verse 28 of John 4, right? The Bible says, now this is after Jesus met the woman at the well. And and told her everything about herself. It says, so the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Understand about the story is that when Jesus met her and asked her, can you give me a drink? I came here for a drink. She said to him, how can you ask me for a drink? You have nothing to draw water with. She came with her own water jar. Right. Initially, if Jesus asked her for a drink, she could have gave him water from her water jar. But it was so important to her that she said to him, well, where is your water jar? You have nothing to draw water with. And then Jesus told her, well, if you knew who was speaking to you, you would ask of me, give me a drink, and whatever I give you, you would never thirst again. But right when she left, the Bible said that she left her water jar and went away to the people. So this indicates that this water jar that was so important to her, she no longer needed because she had a drink of the living water that Jesus gave her. Now, I'm not sure who out there is feeling dry right now, who's feeling spiritually dehydrated, if you're feeling spiritually drained. But right now, what you need to do is to take a drink of this living water that Jesus is giving to you. Get rejuvenated, get refreshed, and go on living your life and being a blessing to other people. So that's the word of the day. Be a blessing to other people.
Aww.
And make sure you get that living water from Christ.
Right, right. And all the Knicks, they definitely need to get that living water.
You leave my Knicks.
Leave my Knicks
out of it.
In the chat room, someone said Romans 8:31. If God be for the Knicks, who could be against that? And
hey,
I mean,
hey.
I wanted to crack up
hey.
So bad.
Hey.
So I held it in, Dre. I held it in for the word of the day.
Hey,
oh, my God.
Hey, don't make me.
Right, their well is dry right now, so they need to ask for some water. Anyway, drink it over. We'll be moving on. All right. Facebook shout out. Facebook shout out. One of the things that I saw on Facebook, someone passed, and you know, I didn't even know the person, but what it definitely and this has been happening over and over. Like, I just heard someone from my school. He was a teacher. He actually was a sponsor for Bible Club at the high school that I went to, Mr. Williams, and he passed away, and my friend Yannick told me about it. And so, well, she put it on her Facebook, and I got the information. But life is too short. You really need to appreciate those people that come into your life. I look at life so differently now. I had loved ones, and I let it, like, slip through my fingers, and now I'm, like, I can't even let go anymore because of the fact that I just want to love harder. The people that are in your lives, all those people, whether it's your station manager, Tiffany Dole, or your Dre, who's crying over the Knicks right now, whatever, all the people that you love, your family members, like whoever it is in your life, that special someone, you know, whoever it is your spouse, your soon-to-be spouse, your want-to-be spouse, Dre has so many of those.
I have, wait, stop, what was that?
But, you know, whoever it is,
I have
Dre.
What?
So many wannabe spouses, so many women out there who want to be spouses. You need to love.
No, I don't.
To love on those people. Love them. Never. So anyway, I just want to say, your family members, like, even though they drive you crazy, I know mom sometimes do. You gotta love them. You really gotta love them. Alright, so that's it. Now, the song that we're interviewing is Sharon Johnson.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're going to move on with the show and get into this first song of the show right now. So, let's get the song going and we're going to continue on with the interview.
True. So many things keep on buzzing.
Thanks for having me,
all around the world. So many things keep on trending all around the world. But one thing remained the same and it will never change. It's the name above all names, yeah. Let me introduce you to the man with the biggest buzz in the world. Whoa.
Ain't nobody bigger, ain't no buzz like this. If you know who I'm talking about, then pop your fist and let's go. Every city, every song, every to show the world how great this.
it on your Facebook, post it on your Twitter. God so big, can't get no bigger. And he's so good, can't get no better. Only my God can live forever, forever. Rain never ending. Tweet it right now, though, this should be trending. I know you feel the pressure, but you ain't gotta fit in. Come on, man, please stop pretending. You know that he can do the impossible. On the other side, it's a pot of gold. Bow now, all powerful. Does anybody come close? Not at all. Class all by himself, league up zone. Preeminent Christ, king on the throne. Yeah, you can let him breathe on your bones. SG man, sing a song.
Now, I am huge fans of
you're a real big fan, I see.
Yes, huge fan of the true. Well, Sherman Gordon is the man. He's the man. But
exactly.
But I am a huge fan of The Truth, Andy Mineo, and Show Baraka. Like those three dudes are like on constant rotation on my very awesome Android Note, Galaxy Note 2. Like, yeah, I have them like on constant rotation. Yeah, man. So, yeah, man. But I love Sherman Gardner. The song is God So Big. Yo, you can't beat it. And just in case you don't know, but like we play the hottest in gospel music on this show. The hottest, the newest, the latest gospel music. So if you ever want to know what songs we're playing, send us an email. Go to our website, send us an email, and we will let you know what songs we play on this show so that you can get equipped with good Christian urban music. We know that's definitely needed. So, yeah.
Got you. Yes, definitely. You want to listen to the show, and you want to make sure that you check us out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're just like Pandora, gospel style. But we got, like, the hottest music out there. All right, so definitely tune in to NEWG Radio.
Yeah, man, because you know we got them tunes. We got them
right,
tunes.
Right. We got
yes,
them
we
tunes,
do.
Them tunes.
We got them
tunes.
Them tunes on the show.
All right.
Yes.
Look, he's bringing out the little Trini accent. I hear it.
Where's
Monique?
Yes. Tell
Monique
for the
Virginia
call.
I have a Virginia accent, and you have your little Trini accent. So
Go ahead.
You were saying you need Tiffany to do what?
No, I was going to get Monifa. She's our resident Trini.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll text her and tell her to call in and ask a question. She got some time. All right. Let's bring on Ms. Sherry Johnson. I actually, wow, it's such an interesting way that I met Mrs. Johnson. How are you, Mrs. Johnson? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Welcome.
God bless.
Thank you.
I'm so glad that you're here. And like I said, you have an awesome testimony, and nobody can tell your testimony better than you can tell your testimony. But I am going to tell the listeners how I actually came to find out about you. Basically, okay. Joe Martin, who is basically one of the people who have been on our show many times, that's my professor, that's my mentor, that's my life coach. Like, he's everything right now. he's helping me with my video blog. He's just doing it all. So anyway, I was in Tallahassee, and I was at a very low point in my life, and Professor Joe said to me, he said, Tasha, you need to, I was telling him, like, all the stuff I'm going through, whatever, and Professor Joe was like, look, yeah, I hear you, but you need to call Sherry Johnson. And I was like, what do you mean I need to call Sherry Johnson? What are you talking about, Professor? I'm telling you I'm going through, I'm crying here, you're just not hearing me. He said, yeah, I hear you, Tasha, but this woman made me cry. So, yeah, you're crying over your situation, but you have no idea. This woman actually made me cry. So I was like, okay, fine. You know, it is what it is. I'm going to listen to Miss Johnson. And I finally called you, and it was like,
yes,
it was one of them shut-up moments. Yeah,
yes.
It was one of them shut-up moments. You ain't got nothing to say after she done told you what she done been through. It was almost like she said, she was like, we talked for like an hour, and she was just telling me her story, and then she said, oh, Tasha, your turn. And I was like, no, I don't really have anything going on, really. Like, I didn't know what to say, because I'm like, you can't even compare. And to find, and to hear you laughing, to hear that you've gone through all that and laughing. So, like I said, I could give you guys a brief synopsis, but there's just so much to it. Dealt with child abuse, basically,
yes.
At a very young age. Got pregnant at a very young age. Have 9 children, which, like I said, that alone is a testimony. We're in this whole month of May talking about Mother's Day. We're going to get into that. But how, you know, please tell us a little bit about that. Because, like I said, no one would believe that story. I'm telling you, it was one of those Oprah moments where you're just like, aha, like, I, man, no matter what I'm going through, it don't matter that the Knicks won, who cares? These people who are really struggling out there, who are really suffering. I'm sorry, I had to throw that in for Dre because he's just crying over there. I'm trying to get him to lively up. But, you know, so, you know, people are going through a lot. People have gone through a lot, whether it's divorce, whether they went through sexual abuse. You know, Joyce Meyer, she's, like, known for that. She talks about how she was molested 200 times by her father. Every time my mom wants to stab me in the throat, she said, well, no matter what you go through, you are molested 200 times by your father. Like, she just uses that all the time. So people think that their stories are terrible, heart-wrenching. You know, I just lost my job, I just lost my house, or things of that nature. But to hear what you went through and to overcome that and to now be helping others, I think is amazing. So please, let me move on because I could do this all day. tell us a little bit about your story, the highlights.
Yes,
of course, we could talk all day, but the highlights.
Yes, we can, Tasha. And thank you so much for that introduction. Yes, I have been abused, but I first would like to say I honor God, my father, who's been my father.
Amen.
All of my life.
Yes.
And I would like to say, if you want him to be your father, he can be your father as well. He
Amen.
Has no respect of person.
Amen.
He loves all of us the same. So whatever you need, he has your supply. Whatever your supply is, he has it. That's why I would like to say first. And second, I would like to say, when I talk about my story, it has nothing to do with a pity. I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me. I don't want anybody to have pity for me. Because the story is not about having pity, and it's not about sorrow. It's about knowing who God is and what he can do. If he do it for me, he can do the same thing for you. So that's what
Amen.
I would like to first say. But I was abused
exactly.
at the age of 8 years old by the bishop of my church. And
wow.
from there, I was a victim. And then my mother said that it did not happen to me. So now I'm victimized twice. From there, my stepfather began to rape me. And that went on. From there, then I began to be raped by the deacon, the acting deacon in the church at that time. And I got pregnant at the age of 9 years old. I gave birth to my daughter at the age of 10. From there, I was told I had to get married at the age of 11 to my rapist.
I'm sorry. Hold on.
Were you living in the United States?
Yes, this happened right here in the state of Florida. Yes,
okay.
It did. And you can check the records.
Wow.
After giving birth to my daughter at the age of 10, I got married at the age of 11. I was 11 years old, and my rapist was 20 years old. So I was told I had to marry him in order to be continue to be a part of the church. Me being a little girl, not understanding, but being trying to be obedient to what I'm told to do, because I do want to see Jesus when he come back. And I always had that in my heart, that I wanted to do the right thing. Did I always do it? No. So I'm going to clear that record. No, I didn't always do the right thing. But I put forth an effort to try to do the right thing. But after all of that happened, I stayed married for 7 years. And then I got married again in the same church. And then I was married for 25 years. Well, out of those two marriages, I have 9 children, 5 girls, and 4 beautiful boys, handsome boys.
I'm sorry, what church was this, if you don't mind saying?
Oh, I don't mind. It's called the House of Prayer out of Miami, Florida, is the headquarters. And
okay.
Then they have various churches throughout. Well, I grew up in the church in Tampa, Florida.
Gotcha.
So all of this happened in Tampa, Florida. And they wouldn't marry me in Tampa, so my mom had to take me over to Clearwater, Florida. So Pinellas County Courthouse is where I got married at.
Okay.
So
all right.
From there, but God always kept his hands on me. He always protected me, and I thank God for his protection, because I know there are many avenues that I could have went down and
yeah.
never to return, but he kept me through all of that. And with that, he has allowed me this past March 9th, 2013, to launch my book called Forgiving the Unforgivable, Purple in a Darker Color.
Wow.
And this book tells you the entirety of what I faced in life, of what I went through and how it happened. And it's
wow.
just not to make anybody look bad or to bring anybody down, but to let you know how deep the devil can carry you, but how good God can bring you out.
Now, did you grow to love your first husband, the man who raped you?
Yes, I did. I grew, you know, only 11 years old, being a mother and a wife at that time. I think I did the best that I knew with
mm-hmm.
what I had, the knowledge that I had at that particular time.
Yeah.
And I think I did grow into loving him. But
okay.
because we were separated almost every year, he would leave me when I got pregnant.
Mm,
he would leave
okay.
me, but I had to accept him back according to the church rules and regulations.
Was
he
this the pastor's son?
No, this wasn't the pastor's son. No, this is just, he was an acting deacon in the church at the time.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. So one of the things that we wanted, you know, like listeners are probably trying to find out, in writing this book, how were you able to forgive your rapists, your abusers, even your mother who denied the actual abuse? How did you do that? Because people talk about it all day long. And, you know, in talking to you, that's why you came out with the book. So many people would be so angry. They would be miserable. They wouldn't talk to any of those people anymore. Those people would be dead to them. How were you able to forgive?
Well, I realized that, and you're correct. I was one point in my life like that, where these people were making me angry. And I realized I was getting angrier and angrier, more angrier all the time. So I began to get bitter, and I'm praying, Lord, help me. And these are the things that the Lord let me know, that I had to forgive them, whether they forgive me or not. I still had to forgive what they did to me.
Yeah.
Because we don't realize when we pray, and we teach our kids how to pray, the Our Father prayer, and what does it say? It tells us, in order for God to forgive us, we have to forgive
those
that have trespassed us. If we don't forgive them, then God can't forgive us. So if we hold on to the things of the past and the hurt and the bitterness, all it does is just turn into more hurt, more bitter. And it leads from our... I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. Finish saying it, but I do have a question.
It leads from our natural body, our spiritual body also, and it'll work on our natural body. That anger backfires, which, so to speak. It backfires on us. So we have to realize we got to let that go, and that's God's problem. Yes, it happened to us, but he brought us out. He did what he needed to do. I'm still in my right mind. I don't hate anybody. I don't try to hurt anybody. I love everybody. So why not forgive them so that I can have a peace of mind? I can sleep at night.
Now, I have a question. You having 9 children. Did you ever fear that your child would grow up to be abused as well?
Yes, I did. I did, very much so.
Were you overprotective of them?
I was much protected when I gotten older, not realizing at the age of 11 years old, it did not cross my mind at that time. But as I gotten older and I had my late kids in the later years, yes, I was more protective of them, asking them questions, and I did not trust anybody. I didn't care who it was. I did not trust anybody. So I would constantly ask them, are they okay? You know, did anybody say anything to you out of the way? And I started to begin to build more of a relationship with them.
Yeah.
Well, at first I was so angry and so bitter, I didn't try to build a relationship. But as time went on, I realized it was necessary to build a relationship with them, to try to talk to them.
All right.
Now, one thing I wanted to, I'm going to get a caller. We have someone on the line who I'm glad that he called in and not just, Corey, he has a question or comment for you.
Sure.
Hi, Corey.
How are you doing?
How are you doing? I'm so glad you called in. I've been asking you to do that for a while now.
Yes.
I've been waiting for you to call in, not just chatting and asking me to say the chat comment, but I'm so glad you called in, Corey. What's your question or comment for Mrs. Johnson?
Yeah, I have a question because I understand the forgiveness, but loving the rapist that you had to marry, how do you get to that space? And did you love him after the forgiveness, or was it within the marriage that you learned?
It was actually forced on. Think about 11-year-old. How much love can they really give? How much love do they even understand? So I feel like I did all that I knew, and I loved him at certain points. But to forgive him, I still did not forgive him at that time. I was very angry with him. I was very bitter with him.
Right. That I understand, especially as a child. But the people that also got you into this marriage, I just don't understand it. I'm wow. That's all I can say. And where are you with them?
You need to get the book, Corey. You got to get the book.
I wouldn't understand it either.
I've never heard. That's what I said when I spoke to Professor Joe, and he told me that it brought him to tears. The story brought him to tears. When she told me, I was like, huh? You won't even think, like even Dre asked the question before I even said it. You won't think things like this happen in this country. But in actuality, I mean, are you kidding me? We just saw 3 girls get released from a man's house for over a decade of being raped and abused. So these things are happening in this country. You have to be so prayed up. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so, yeah, Corey, it is unbelievable. Like, we all need to read the book because, like I said, the thing about coping with abuse, which you've been able to actually do, we'll be able to, you know, go into that even further, but I can't imagine the process of what you had to go through yourself, but then even now your children, now that they know the story of what's going on. How are they feeling? How are they able to cope with what happened to their mother? How do they even begin to love their father?
Real quick. I'm so sorry. Was your father around?
My father was in another city, and he was married again, so he didn't have, him and I did not have a great relationship. He found out what was going on after I gotten pregnant, because I wasn't able to reach him actually before that time.
Let's take a break real quick, and we're going to talk about how you were able to cope with the abuse, and then your kids. Now, you know, we're hearing about what happened years ago, but now how have you been able to deal with this now?
Okay.
I'm a prisoner, you're a prisoner too, Mr. Jailer.
Guys, so we're back. We're talking to Sherry Johnson, who basically went through abuse most of her childhood, and not only that, was married off to her abuser. And so, you guys, if you missed the first part of the interview, you definitely need to listen to it, because it's just such a touching story. I mean, to have the church not protect you, the people who are leaders, who are supposed to be in the body of Christ, who are supposed to protect you, and then on top of that, not have your own mother, who carried you in her womb for 9 months, marry you off to your abuser. Some people can't even deal with the little hurt they're dealing with now. And what is such an amazing, it just shows you how big our God is. That was a song that I was playing earlier, how big God is, that she could actually, like, overcome this and now want to help other people with her motivational speaking, with her talks to women who have gone through this. It's an amazing testimony. So, hello, Mrs. Johnson. We want to find out from you, how were you able to cope with the abuse that you actually went through? And then also, on top of that, how were your children able to cope with the abuse?
Okay. Can you repeat the first question for me, please?
How did you cope with the abuse that you went through? And while you were in it, and now after the fact that you're no longer in the abuse, how were you able to cope with it? And then how are your children coping with the abuse, knowing that their mother, knowing the story now, because now they all know what actually happened.
Correct.
And, you know, what was happening. So how did you cope? How did you guys cope with that?
Well, actually, the kids did not know until they gotten older where they could understand. I did not give them that information when they were very young, because I felt it was not the right timing of that. But I carried the abuse, being angry at first, being very bitter, constantly going to church but being mad, being angry, watching the preacher and the deacon and everybody in the church and wanted to destroy the church, really. But I knew, me being that little girl, I felt that no one would actually really hear me or believe what I said. So I've always been one of those that kind of count the cost before I mount anything. So I thought about the after effects. If I was to say anything or was to blurt it out or anything of that nature in the church, nobody would hear me. I would be blackballed from the church probably. And then, you know, would I ever find a church or what would my mom do then? I'm such a little girl. She's still responsible for me. But anyway, I dealt with it the best I knew how. And that's taking some of that word that I did hear, that God will be with you even to the end of the world. And I believe that. And I always recited the Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. So I recited that even in my mind constantly. So different scriptures that I heard and different gospel songs, Christian songs that I listened to, would uplift my spirit and cause me to continue on. And I literally lived one day at a time. I could not think about tomorrow, because I had a full day of dwelling on the day I was in. And my children did not know, like I said, until they gotten older. And when they gotten older, a lot of them still to this day are struggling to deal with the issue. So we're trying to work it out through praying and through talking with them and, you know, communicating with them, but they still has a major issue with them.
Exactly, and that must be hard. And one of the questions I was asked in the chat room, how many children did you have with your abused husband?
Six children.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and that came from Maureen. I thank you for your compliment, Maureen. That was so lovely. Maureen, thank you so much. Now, another question that we had was, you said your kids are having a hard time going through that. What in actuality, you know, how have you been able, because one of the things is you've healed from it. It actually happened to you. You would think the kids, it would be easier for the kids to forgive because they've watched you do it. And it was happening to you. You were affected by it for so many years. So what are, like, some of the tips that you would give to, you know, women who have been abused, but also their children who can't really forgive the abuser?
Well, like I tell my kids, and I constantly tell them this all the time, if I can forgive the person who have violated me, you sure, just what you just said, you sure should be able to do the same. You should not feel that it's more of your responsibility to carry the burden than it would be mine. If I can let it go, you sure can let it go.
Yeah.
And
wow,
to the parents that have kids, I always tell parents when I'm speaking, listen to your children. Never say never, because you never know what can happen. People are human, and you know what humanity means? Mistakes. Nobody is perfect, even in Christ. That's why we cannot put the preacher or the bishop as a God. He's only a messenger. So when he goes into error, we have to do like Paul say, follow him as he follow Christ. And when you
Amen.
See he's not following Christ, we can't follow him no more. So we
exactly.
have to listen to our children. Be there for your children. Don't let anybody tell you the church is first. If God give you children, your children and your family is first for you to
Amen.
Serve.
Amen.
Amen.
Did you,
a lot of people get that wrong.
Yeah.
Yes.
There was a comment in the chat room. Did those children get counseling or professional help at all?
No, they have not. And it's kind of hard to get them in there. They're at the age
yeah.
now. They have to make their own decisions.
Yeah.
But I am encouraging them constantly to get help, to get that type of assistance, because they need it too. They've been through a lot. They was a lot of them, especially the older ones, was in the same church I was in.
Well, and did you get any help at all?
Yes, I did. I got 2 years of counseling.
Good. Yeah.
That helped me also to understand. Yes, 2 years.
Okay.
And it helped me tremendously to understand a lot of things that was happening. That's when I realized that I had to forgive, and I could not continue to hold that grudge, because whatever I've done, God can hold the grudge against me.
Now, I have a question. What caused you not to blame God for what was happening to you at that age?
Because I can distinguish the different. I understand man and I understand God. They're two. Only God can do what you allow him to do in your life. He give you that choice.
Yeah. You know, I ask that because some people get gossiped about and they blame God. They say, I can't go to that church because I've been gossiped about. So God is not my friend. But you had a tragic event in your life.
Yeah.
And you separated the two. Now, somebody didn't just gossip about you. What they did wasn't right at all. In no way was it appropriate. And instead of you leaving the church and leaving Christ and saying, God, how can you allow this to happen to me? You separated the two and say, you know what? Man isn't perfect. You know,
right.
God, you are perfect and you are going to bring me through this. Your faith is so admirable. You are my hero. Thank you so much.
Right.
Wow.
That's
that must have been an awesome 2 years of counseling. Like, I don't know where you went and got counseling, but you would think 22 years, not just 2 years. I'm like, who did you go through? I want to be a counselor like that. I mean, that's so much. That is so much hurt. No, because I'm very serious when I say
actually,
that.
Well, actually, my counselor is still there. Anytime I need her, I can call her at any moment. And that's Dr. Joan Gans. She's out of West Palm Beach. Out of West Palm Beach now.
I'm
she used
to
live in Tampa.
Serious. Wow, that's amazing. Because, like I said, most people, it takes a lifetime to go through one problem. Multiple issues could have came out of that. I can't even imagine. And I employ anybody who's going through abuse, they might want to definitely check her out because, like I said, I am a counselor myself. And like I said, there are so many issues that can actually come out of that. I can't even imagine what, you know, how she was able to get you to that point in just 2 years, you know.
Well,
you got celebrities
the 2 years the 2 years did not cause me not to have any more problems. I still continue to have issues and problems. I just realized that how to handle them by getting the counseling I need, humbling myself, first of all, knowing that I don't know everything and that God have those that are counselors by degrees and some just through God communicating with them. So I'll allow God to use that to help me in different areas of my life.
Okay, wonderful. It definitely had to be God, but I just feel like when you said that your children actually won't go to the counseling, if I knew that my mom went through this for 2 years and after going through a lifetime of that kind of type of suffering, you know that some stuff, there was breakthroughs that took place in that session.
Amazing.
And I know friends of mine who've gone through abuse, and because we're too close to the situation, because they're my friends, I'm not the best person for them to go to, but I would definitely refer them to her because like I said, they've gone through one thing. They might have gotten raped at 12 by a boyfriend, and they're still having issues with it years later. Like I said, once I heard your story, I had to shut up. So that was the end of it. I was like, I ain't got no problems. God is good. That's all you got to say. God is good. God is good. Now, someone asked, how old are your children now? Like, meaning, how old are they now? Because you have 9 babies. And like I said, when you told me you had 9 babies, I'm like, women are pulling out their hair when they got 2. Sometimes only with 1. So how, you have 9 children. How old are these kids?
And had them at a very early age. Right now, my baby girl is 26. She'd be 27 in 2 months.
How old were you when you had her?
I was 27 when I was 27 when I had her, when I gave birth
to her.
Tasha,
what are you doing? You're about to give this woman's age away. I see what
it's
you're
okay.
doing.
It's all right.
No, I'm not trying to do that. I was trying to show. No, I just wanted to see the youngest one. How old were you when you had your first child? How old is that child now?
I was 10.
So not her.
She was 43.
10. And she's 43. Okay, that's the one I wanted to show. Can you imagine at 10 years old having a child? Like, I'm 32 and I'm still going to be calling Mrs. Johnson for some questions, you know, on how to raise a child. Can you imagine at 10 having a child? And now that baby is no longer a baby. That baby is older than me. She's 43 years old. So, yeah, so what are the ages of all the kids?
Oh, my gosh, you would ask me that. I told them now at my age, I leave their age.
Oh, never mind. Don't worry about it. You have to go back there.
I let them
know. We know the oldest and we know the youngest. That's all. We know the oldest and we know the youngest. Right. That's all that matters. Everybody else is in between. Okay.
All in between.
So what are your tips? Exactly. What are your tips for mothers? Because, like I said, you did it. You did it. And there's applause. We need to put the little claps on. Tiffany, put the little claps on. We need to applaud you. So through all of that, raising all these babies, we need the applause to be sounding the alarm. And I want to find out the tips that you have for that next year. Oh, yes, you deserve those applause.
Thank you.
You need to be on Oprah. Amen. Like I said, you need to be on Oprah. You need Mrs. Johnson, Fix My Life class. I mean, you just need that be going on. We're going to speak those things to be nine, right? What is your message to mothers? Whether they've been abused or not, what is your message to mothers?
Like I was saying earlier, I tell mothers to always listen to their children and never say never. Be there for them. When they need you, be there, especially at an early age. And guide them God's way, not your way, but God's way. Because when they were born, they were already born with a destiny in life. So we have to help mold them and shape them in the form that God would have them to go. Spend valuable time with them. And allow them to speak to you in a respectful way. Whatever they have to say, allow them to talk to you, but for them to be respectful.
Wow. One more quick question. Your mom now, how was your relationship with her?
Well, our relationship is not the best. At this point, I've reached out and I was hoping that it would be that we can get beyond whatever happened and be able to be have a great mother and daughter relationship. But it has not reached that yet. But hey, God still is on the throne, so
amen.
You never know what He's going to do.
We're going to be praying with you on that too.
Please. I appreciate that.
Amen. Wow.
Amen.
So please tell us where people can find you. Tell us about this new movement that you're starting in Tallahassee. Tell us about the book, where we can find that. Because like I said, everybody needs to read that story. And every mother, every child, every individual, fathers, they need to read that story. Because to overcome that level of pain and to have a testimony that shines the way you shine, Mrs. Johnson, that's an amazing thing. So please tell people where they can actually get a hold of you and about your upcoming project.
Sure. My book is called Forgiving the Unforgivable, Purple in a Darker Color. You can go to my website and purchase the book. The website is thetamarfoundation.org. That's the TamarFoundation.org. You can reach me by my email address, which is stopsexabuse@ymail.com. You can also reach me by phone, which is 850-320-STOP. That's 850-320-7867. I also have a foundation called Tamar Foundation. You can reach me on Facebook at Tamar Foundation, /Facebook. You can reach me on Twitter. It's also Tamar Foundation.
Mm. Amen. Thank you so much for your story. It's like your story is like the sequel to The Color Purple, you know?
Yes.
But, and I guess the book may have been along those lines too. And I tell you what, I'm anxious to purchase that book and read it, you know,
sure.
And read it. And it'll help me encourage young ladies who were in a similar situation as you. Like I said before, your story is heroic. How you have continued to press in and maintain your relationship with Christ and become closer with Him despite this is admirable, amazing, and it strengthens my faith. So thank you for being so brave to come on the show and share your story with all of us.
Sure,
really
thank you for
it.
Inviting me, and I appreciate the opportunity because that's what the foundation is about. We're building a platform to be able to talk about sex abuse because it is a silent epidemic that is happening every day.
Mm-hmm.
Four out of five girls are being molested every hour.
Mm. Amen.
We got to stop it somewhere.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Mrs. Johnson.
Thank you.
We love you here.
Yes, thank
Amen.
You. I love
Amen.
You guys too. Y'all enjoy.
All right.
We'll have her
thank
back.
You
gotta
so
have
much.
Her back.
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Sure.
Definitely. She'll be here. She's family now. I got all speed now. All right. Thank you guys so much. I so love that you guys tuned in with us today. And like I said, definitely one of the things that Mrs. Johnson said is that you definitely have to constantly, and I say constantly, pray over your children, watch over your children. And if you're like me who don't have children yet, you need to be praying over your friends' children because, like I said, there is so much going on there, you know what I mean, in this world. There's terrible things happening daily. So you definitely have to keep your relationship with God as strong as you possibly can. We love you guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week. God bless.
Peace.
My morning, said I'm off my bed. Chant a prayer to my Father and give thanks for a brand new dawn. This life that I'm living, it's not perfect, no. And sometimes nothing at one, but I'm trotting along. Vibes into a new reggae song every day, hoping for the best in life, oh, oh, oh. But I got no sleep, He knows my heart. Knows that I've been through so many stories. I'm left to be untold, but the future is yours. So I never give up on my dreams. Better must come, we all have worked so hard, yeah, we're not this your vineyard. So I never give up on my dreams. Better must come. Searched my heart and then I found the will to survive, even though my mind had so much doubt. Look and you'll see, even when things not pretty, most I supply every need. Me now have a chance I want in. I got what puts a roof over me head from night till morning come. And I'm not gonna break my stride. I'm alive, so I chase it away. Every evil thought that wants to come and mess with my mind, I'll chase it away. My future will be bright. So I never give up on my dreams. Better must come. We all have worked so hard, yeah, we know this your vineyard. So I never give up on my dreams. Better must come. It will come. Whoa, whoa. Me just gotta hold the faith, yeah. Even despite the my signs, we got never failed.
Gideon. So I never give up on my dream. Better must come, better must come.